Welcome to Speak in Flow, the podcast that helps leaders like you unlock the power of your voice, achieve maximum potential and flow through exceptional communication. I'm your host, Melinda Lee, and I am passionate about helping company leaders and their teams master public speaking, pitching with impact, and stepping into their full leadership potential. Thanks for tuning in to the Speak in Flow podcast, which is the top 10% of podcasts worldwide. When you stick around until the end, I have an exclusive gift just for listeners only, something that will immediately help you and your team up-level your communication. Let's dive in. Welcome, dear listeners, to the Speak in Flow podcast, where we dive into unique stories and experiences to help you and your team achieve maximum potential and flow. Today, I have an expert and CEO co-founder of Spintly, Rohan Parker. He's going to share with us some communication strategies to scale and share his unique stories with us. And so welcome, Rohan.
Hey, Melinda, it's a pleasure to be on your show. I'm excited.
Me too. I'm excited for our conversation today. And so before we dive in, can you share with the audience, what are you excited about when it comes to Spintly over the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, really excited for the future of the company. It's been a journey. Have been working on this for about 5 years now. Initial days were really tough, but things have started working out. So looking to scale the company. We are an access control company. We provide seamless access to users to spaces, doors, pretty much any doors. So looking to expand across every door in the world where you can just walk into the door and you don't have to worry about security. It's just seamless, right? That's our business. So looking to expand that business.
Yeah. And did you create the technology yourself, you and your team?
Yeah. So I come from wireless technology background. So we created this technology. We have a few patents. We have filed for our technology. So really happy to see this technology in action now. About 400 plus customers use it today. So want to take this business global. We've grown in India pretty well. We brought the business to US a couple of years back. So a few customers here. So yeah, things are looking good. Can't complain much. Really happy about how things have been.
That is a tough journey. I know that entrepreneurship is very tough, and you have about 100 people on your staff, some key clients here.
Yeah, so we are 100 plus employees in the company. We have customers across the globe, India being our major customer base, but in Middle East and US. When you have a team, it's a kind of a added responsibility you feel on your shoulders that just not you and your family, but you have a bigger family to take care of.
Yeah. And tell me about the journey of when you decided to come back to the United States. Like you mentioned, you have your employees as a family, but you also have wife and children. What was that like to decide to come back?
Yeah, it's so we've been moving all across every 3 or 4 years we have moved. So I started off in Chicago, moved to Dallas, Texas, from Dallas, moved to Los Angeles, Irvine. And then within a couple of years, moved to the Bay Area and then moved back to India. Mm-hmm. And that was probably supposed to be our last move back to India, not supposed to be that. That's where what we had planned. But business evolved. We started our US office and then I had to float the idea of, okay, let's move back to the US. So it's every time you have to convince your wife and your family that, hey, it's we are moving for good, to make our lives better. So it's every time it's been a challenge, but my family has been really supportive. And I think looking back, they also see that it's been a good experience for themselves. My daughter has been to 11 schools. Well, now she's in 12th grade. So you can imagine how diverse of an experience she has had.
So, yeah. Wow. And so how was the communication? Did they initially oppose or did it take some convincing? What were the communication strategies you used?
I think I was very open about because my wife also is part of the company now. Mm-hmm. So she sees the business evolving. So it was not like a surprise coming. It was always like a gradual process where we made everybody realize that, hey, looks like this is going to happen, so we got to get ready for this, and it's for good. It's our growth. And I think my daughter is really happy now. She's got into UCSC, so I can't
Oh,
complain, and she can't
good. Oh,
complain.
good.
She's really
Wonderful.
happy about how things have turned out for her.
Oh, good. Wonderful. Congratulations. And so, yeah, you mentioned you have 100 employees. You went from zero, starting it on your own, to 100. And so you've obviously have some success and scaled, and also a podcast. You're a great communicator. And tell me about a time when the communication was not so great. It was challenging for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as an engineer, you always think that product is everything, right? So you think that you're going to build a product and that's it. It's just going to sell, correct?
Right.
And then when you build the product, nothing sells. I'm like, what? Why is it not working out? That's when you have to put the real CEO hat where it's you have to do sales, you have to motivate your employees, you have to be able to tell a story to your investors. So it comes down to communication. And I was not the best communicator when I started off. I mean, I never even thought that that was important. I was a good networker, so I would meet people, but I had problems in my communication, and that started showing up in the early days when I was pitching to investors or trying to raise capital, not being able to tell a clear story of why we are doing what we are doing. That was a big problem, and I think that kind of went on for a few years, but I had to take some corrective actions, and today I'm a better communicator.
Yeah, and did you think that when you were communicating, were you too technical? What was the problem? Or were
Yeah,
you
as an
stumbling a little
engineer,
bit?
we
What is it?
it's a lot of technical jargon which was being used, and it's just like not being aware of the process, right? It's everything. So, for example, if you want to learn swimming, you got to talk to a expert swimmer and learn from a swimmer, right? I had never met another entrepreneur or who has done it before, so we never thought that that's a new skill you need to pick up. You think that it's all about engineering and product. Obviously, it's important, but you underestimate the importance of communication and learning how to pitch or tell a story. Just tell a story.
How did you finally know that? Did someone tell it to you?
Yeah, initially I started reading books which were focused on entrepreneurships, fundraising, startups, right? So some of the initial learnings came from the books, but putting it into practice was a different thing, right? When you read about it, you think it's, yeah, this is what it is, but how do you put it into practice? So you need mentorship. Some of our investors gave me the feedback early on that, hey, I asked them, hey, how was the pitch? How did you think? What did you think about it? And they said, it was good, but it was too technical. You were going into the weeds of things. You were not really explaining what the problem was, what the solution was. You have to dumb it down a bit, right? And you were not being so confident, is what they used to tell me. And then when they said that, I would go back and record my pitches and start listening to them. And then I got it that I was using a lot of filler words, being tentative about what I'm saying, not being feeling confident. So I had to then record myself and start removing those words, filler words. Even now, I might throw in some filler words, but I would now want to pause more than just keep talking. I still struggle pausing. I think that's something I'm working on, but it's just like taking the feedback and learning from your own recordings is what I did.
And practicing, taking the feedback. Well, first, A, right, listening to the feedback. Sometimes people, like you mentioned, you didn't even realize that it was something that needed to be built and developed. And so kudos to you to take the feedback. Oh, okay, that's good feedback. And then what can you do about it? Like, what can you, so you took the route of recording, listening to yourself, and then noticing. Oh yeah, and acknowledging maybe I could have been a little bit more have more confidence. Maybe I didn't have to have so much technical jargon because like you said, engineer, and this happens all the time where engineers are so proud of their product and their technology, and then that's all they talk about. I do that with my business. I talk about what I can do, how I could do it, but then people sometimes don't even really care. They just want to know that you can help them. Like, what is the problem you can help me solve, and can you do it? So it's a
So you kind of need like a sounding board where you can reevaluate yourself every quarter, for example, saying that,
Yeah.
hey, let's connect, have a mentor, talk to the mentor and say, hey, we've done well so far, but what do you think I can improve further? So, because it's never over, right? Your milestones are changing. You're
Right.
raising a seed round, then you're raising a series A round, you're going to raise a series B round, and probably you have to talk to people who view you differently, right? So you got to change over a period of time, become more mature, right? Especially when you're raising from $1 million, you have to raise now $50 million, right? You have to have a much bigger vision. You have to tell a much bigger story.
Okay, what is that the main difference that you see when you're 5 million to 50 million? Like, is that what is the difference that you see? Telling a bigger story.
I mean, you have to have a bigger story, and you have to build. First of all, you have to believe in that story. It's just not a story for the story's sake, because
Yeah.
otherwise it doesn't come out real, right? It
Right.
seems fake. So first of all, you have to believe that this is what we are building, and it has the potential to disrupt the world, for example, right? Like it has to be big enough, and then once you believe in it, things feel more natural. You don't have to fake it.
How did you get yourself to believe in it when it's nebulous and uncertain?
That's the tough part, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's where entrepreneurship, as a startup founder, without belief, everything is impossible, right? I mean, it is something which you have to, really hit your head into, and get it into your head that you're not inferior to anybody, right? You sometimes a lot of people, I mean, including us, especially Asians, right? When you come from a different background, you have a different color, and you feel sometimes you're not as good as others. And that's a feeling. It's all mindset. It's not reality. And you have to change it. You first have to believe that, hey, I can build a $100 million company or a $1 billion company. Nothing stops us from building that. And once you say it over and over again, you start believing in it, right? And things work out. If you stop believing, that's when things stop working out for you.
Right. So it's our own mindset, right? Sometimes we're not less than other people. We're going to be the only ones that believe in our vision. And so continuing to like take out all the negative thoughts, the mindset, and then could keep going on to the belief and the vision and keep on pounding into our head, saying it several times. It is tough because you don't want to say it for the first time in front of an investor. You want to say it over and over again before you get up to the pitch or the presentation. So that it's in your body and your
Practice.
mind.
Practice is the key.
Yeah. I love that. And so what about your like family, work life family? You're doing a lot with the company, growing it to this billion-dollar company. What about your family? How are they involved? How do you balance or yeah.
It's never easy when you have a family, but it's about open communication with the family. After COVID especially, things changed, right? Everybody was at home, kids were
Yeah.
schooling from home, we were working from home. So instead of focusing on work-life balance, we started saying, hey, let's have a work-life harmony, where you do what you do at different times. So you can have lunch as a family, then go back to work, and then you can have dinner as a family, but you can again go back to work late at night, and everybody understands what you're doing. So I think being open about that, and letting everybody do things at different times, is what we do today. My son actually attends piano classes at 8 p.m., which is fine, and I'll be having another meeting at the same time, and my wife will be having another meeting. So I think it's been working out, as because we have been open and communicating with each other openly about what everybody's priorities are.
And supporting each other that way. Love it. Open communication and support. Yeah.
I think the more you hide some things, it starts biting you at the end. Like, hey, you didn't tell me there was a meeting and we were supposed to go out somewhere or whatever. And then small things result into a fight, right? I mean, so.
And how about your team? What about communicating with your team? How's that been? Especially with the vision that it's taking.
It's been a journey there. Initially we thought that employees are just going to pick up stuff on their own, but that doesn't happen as you scale. When you're a 10-person company, Yeah, you are talking constantly to those 10 employees, and everybody knows where you're headed. But when you become 100 people company, it's a layered structure, right? So you have people who report to you, but then there are people who report to them, and the story doesn't go all the way through.
All the way down, yeah.
So now you have to make sure you have a structured approach. So we have an all hands meet every quarter, which we have, where I tell the entire company what our priorities are, what our vision is. Culture is so important, right? So everything comes down to culture. That what's our culture, right? Customer first culture, open communication, being friendly, being a family together, right? So I think we assume that people just know, but they don't know. You have to tell them everything.
No, I think, but that's what makes it even more solidified. So there's no assumption. It's very clear. And then
Yeah.
so everybody can, be on board with it. What a
Yeah, so
great
we
culture.
write our mission statement, vision statement now, and the culture, and it's there in the company. We talk about it, so everybody knows, right?
Yeah, I love that. Wonderful. I think that's great. I mean, I feel like that is a great culture. Like you said, all the values that you just spoke to are, it sounds like an amazing place to be and to
Yeah,
work.
because every founder is different, so you have to make sure that you as a founder tell what your priorities are. Some founders are very aggressive and they have a very different culture and they want that culture in that company. But for us, you know, it's been empathy, you know, taking care of people, and that's been more important for us than just making money. Money comes as a result of how you build the company.
Oh, that's wonderful, Rohan. That's great. And then plus your family's involved and well, congratulations. I'm really excited for you, for Spintly and where it's going. And I could see every door opening with your technology.
Yeah, literally. Thanks a lot. And it was great, you know, talking to you. I mean, thanks for doing this. It's great to tell such stories and, you know, look back on what has worked and, you know, just keep improving.
Yeah. So is there what can when someone wants to have a technology with their with opening at the doors, like to learn more about your technology, how can they find you?
I'm on LinkedIn. If you just type Rohan Parker on LinkedIn, you'll find me, or Spintly on LinkedIn, you'll find our LinkedIn channel. And
Great.
from there, anybody can connect with any of us or me directly. And we are
Great.
always open.
Great. So connect with Rohan, learn more about Spintly and what the company does. It's going to be out there. They're just changing and disrupting the technology with remaining with going into doors, right? Security is seamless and just walk in without having to bring out the key fob and where's my key fob?
It's a very tough industry to crack, but you know, it's changing now. You know, people are moving away from old way of doing things, but it's a big market, huge opportunity.
I mean, security is huge, right? We definitely want to, be aware of security. So thank you also for keeping our community safe.
Yeah, thanks, Melinda. I think thanks for doing this. This was really interesting and a great conversation with you.
Yeah, no, I had a really great time. Thank you for sharing your story, your journey of growth, of development within your own communication skills, and for continuing to persist. Right, even with our businesses, with our families, you're continuing to always show up, commit to you, both your businesses and your family, and now you have a successful, all around, sounds like all around personal and professional life.
Yeah, can't complain. Just touch wood.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Keep going. All right, thank you, Rohan.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Melinda. Pleasure
Thank
talking to you.
you. Awesome. And then thank you, listeners, for being here. I trust that you got your golden takeaway for you to implement right away so that you can improve your life. And remember, anytime you have a chance to communicate with somebody, you also have a chance to connect, to inspire, and make a bigger difference within your communities. Until next time, I'll see you later. I'm your sister in flow. Take care. Bye bye. That's a wrap on today's Speak and Flow podcast. I hope that you've gained valuable insights to help you communicate with more clarity, connection, and confidence. Before you go, let me ask you this. Can your team communicate your founder story in a way that strengthens relationships and builds your company brand? If not, I've got a tool for you. Introducing, it's an AI founder's story creator. This is a tool to help you craft a compelling story instantly that you can share with your team, and therefore your team can share with lots of people, building your brand. Grab this tool. In addition to creating immediately your founder story, you're also going to get one-on-one coaching with me so that we can continue to refine the story so that it's in alignment with your company messaging. Click on the link in the show notes, grab it today, and until next time, keep leading with confidence and courage.